welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I am Michael, and I am here with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Tired.
Yeah, I'm blaming Liberty Larry for the late recording.
Oh, yeah. It's totally 100% on me. There's no question. Like, and I mean, the only other option was for you to do a solo, so.
I considered it at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, work's just got me tied up right now, man. It's just that time of year.
It's just not as much fun to do it by myself.
No,
then
I agree.
Then I just feel like I'm lecturing.
Yeah.
To nobody.
To nobody. You're lecturing.
Like to my cats or to the window or something. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
There's people fun out there. You're lecturing the people.
I mean, I'm aware of that. Yeah. Like I know that people listen. I hope it's a lot more than I think.
Yeah. There's people out there.
But it still just feels like, it feels like I'm talking to nobody when I do them by myself.
No, I get it. Yeah. I mean, I've hosted conference calls before. Mm-hmm. And anytime I'm hosting a conference call, like it's always quick. And I'm always telling the people, I'm like, all right, like don't be afraid to speak up and say something, because I get to talk and it, just like you're saying, it feels like I'm talking to nobody if everybody's like nice and polite and quiet.
Yeah.
Like I want them to like kind of get riled up, because otherwise I'm going to burn through my material in like 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, and the funny part there is that, like, I'm pretty sure that there's people in their cars or whatever, like, yelling at me, but I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, right? You're not getting that feedback.
If so, no one else is yelling at me, my mom probably is. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's people yelling back, trust me.
They can email michael@thelibertymike.com.
Yeah.
Maybe those people just don't ever listen long enough to hear my...
Well, they're always driving.
Hear my email address at the end. They've already...
Yeah.
Quit in disgust.
Right.
Let's see what he says next week.
Right. Maybe next week I'll respond.
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time on the last podcast talking about Victoria Nuland.
Oh yeah.
And then she quit.
Oh, she quit. I didn't know that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, dude, like, oh, wow. So I have been working a lot, and yeah, so I may have missed things. So apparently, I missed that.
Yeah, Victoria Nuland quit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of surprised.
And I also, since she quit and there were more people talking about her and writing about her, I came to understand that I was right on all counts as far as her level in the State Department.
What her position
I
was?
I kept saying she was second or third in the State Department.
Yeah.
And her actual title was the third person in the State Department, but she was acting as the second person in the State Department because they'd quit.
Oh, wow.
A while back.
Yeah.
So both of those were right or wrong, depending on perspective.
How you want to look at it. Yeah.
And that is the prevailing theory as to why she quit, is yeah. because she was acting second in command,
yeah.
Deputy Secretary of State. You know,
yeah.
And they hired somebody else.
And didn't give her the
first position.
Position yeah. or the second position. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the prevailing theory as to why she quit, is that she was upset about that. Of course, it could be a lot of things. It could be that they're kind of walking back some of her projects in Israel and Ukraine.
Yeah.
That she's been so deeply involved with for so long.
Like I said, she is Ukraine. Like that's mm-hmm. that's I've got to imagine in her mind that's her baby.
Yeah. Well, and she's a big Israel supporter too.
Oh, is she? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, to me, it doesn't make any difference because
I was gonna say it's not like they're gonna replace her with somebody better.
Yeah, they're saying things like they're walking stuff back, but we're still trying to get another $60 billion passed for Ukraine, and we're still giving the Israeli money and weapons and.
Oh yeah, like none of this is stopping.
A free hand to do whatever they please, even though we're saying things, but we're not doing. I mean, we're not putting any pressure on them to actually change their behavior.
Yeah, and the only reason things are being said is because it's an election year, and this is a like problem for Biden.
Yeah, this is a big issue on the left. It's more of an issue on the left than it is on the right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's absolutely true. Super Tuesday also happened.
Oh yeah, I forgot about it. So I did follow that too.
I didn't. So Nikki, tell me what happened.
Well, I mean, the big news was that I mean,
that Nikki Haley quit.
That she dropped out because Trump just trounced her.
Actually, she just suspended her campaign.
Well, that's what they all do, actually.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So they never drop out. Well, they do drop out, but that's what we say it is. But officially, they suspend their campaign. And it has to do with...
Probably tax stuff.
It's tax like stuff. And things. Yeah. And it has to do with campaign finance. Like, it's just a bunch of technical garbage. So that's what they all do. But she is out after getting trounced. I think she did win, was it Vermont?
Vermont.
In D.C., which D.C. didn't vote, I think, the day before.
Yeah, that was before.
Which just thought the irony was just incredible that the one of the places she won was D.C.
Well, of course.
Like, well, it makes nothing but sense. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
she's totally in line with that.
She is the establishment. The yeah. Like, I mean, that's what she is.
And Vermont, isn't Vermont Bernie Sanders' state?
Yeah, and I think she only squeaked in. Yeah. So, she got trounced, and like I say, I watched some of her speech from that night, because she didn't drop out till like the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, she was still all victory speechy that night. And I watched some of Trump too, which Trump didn't mention her, I don't think. So I came into his speech like a little ways in. I don't think I was very much in, but I think he had just gotten started good. As far as I know, he didn't mention her by name at all in his victory speech.
Yeah, why bother?
Well, and he really focused on like the bigger campaign. Like, I mean, that was really where his focus was at.
Well, it's decided. It's a rematch.
It is. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know. I'm with you on that one.
Come on, United States. We can do better than this. Yeah.
Can we, though? Because we don't.
We don't.
Like, over and over, we don't.
That's true. But we can. I know we can.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who to blame.
I mean, I think it's the system. Like, there's something inherently wrong with the way we're doing this. If like, because we keep coming back to the same problem over and over again.
Well, I think it comes back around to the thing that I say all the time, which is, well, a few things that I say all the time. This all works together to create this where you have two bad choices every 4 years.
Yeah.
Is that first off, people are completely unwilling to break the cycle and vote outside Republican or Democrat.
Well, that's true.
And second, that fear is a much more effective strategy than anything else to motivate people to vote. And so it's actually good to have bad candidates, because then you get to say...
It's easy to gin up your side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't want the other guy, do you?
You don't want Hillary Clinton in there, do you?
Exactly. So,
which, I get that. Like, I don't want Hillary Clinton in there. That terrifies the crap
Donald
out
Trump
of me.
Or Joe Biden. Yeah. And so there's enough of a party loyalty and enough of a fear that if I don't vote for this bad candidate, the other bad candidate will win to keep people voting. And then the only people that win is the establishment, because the only candidates going through are establishment candidates. And you can make a case about Trump not being an establishment candidate, but the truth is that he didn't accomplish anything. And I had somebody very recently tell me that everything that Trump said that he was going to do, he did. And I said, what?
Lay that out for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't... Honestly, it was a nice lunch. I didn't want to argue, so I didn't.
I would have just liked for some of that to have been laid out. I mean, I guess you'd make an argument that they started some wall, but they definitely didn't finish
it. Well, I mean, that's the only thing that I could come up with, is that he started to do a lot of the things that he said that mattered.
Yeah, and I think
he started to get troops out of Afghanistan, or he started the process of bringing troops out of Afghanistan.
Yeah,
he attempted to get troops out of Syria, and they just lied to him. I guess you could kind of give him that, except that's pretty poor management too, when the people under you are just hiding the information.
Right. That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, he started a wall that never got finished. He started to do such a bunch of things, but to me, that's just proof that he's ineffectual.
Well, I mean, I think there's an argument that could be made that if he had had a second term, he could have finished some of those things.
I don't think so.
I don't know how much I buy into that, but that would be the argument.
I mean, we're likely to find out.
I mean, that's true. We are likely to find out, because I just don't see how that corpse can get through. I don't see how Biden gets through the campaign.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't.
There is true. This time he might actually have to campaign, but I don't know that he really does because he's already president.
Yeah. Well, and you're already hearing it in the media where they're talking about his surrogates.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's going to lean on them more to propel the message than him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not getting out there doing rallies every night like Trump's going to be doing.
Well, I mean, he gave a big campaign speech the other day.
Yes, he did.
He called it the State of the Union, but...
Yeah, there's... So this is something like that, because they gave Trump crap about this too, about, oh, well, you just got up there and did a campaign speech and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. But man, like with Biden in particular, at least this last one, it really did feel like a campaign speech.
Yeah, he was very antagonistic towards the other side for a guy who's trying to...
That's supposed to be a unifier.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the sell, whether you buy it or not. That was what we were being sold.
Yeah, it's like the things that he wanted them to pass, he was just trying to shame them into it instead of convince them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's ineffective.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work for me.
Right?
Certainly. I would just dig my heels in more.
Yeah.
But it was... and they're all like this, and it drives me crazy. And I don't want to just like spend the podcast talking about all the BS that came out in that speech. But the start of it, just like the first 3 minutes or something like that, it's like I don't think he's said a true word yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it started off with war lies. There was the whole thing about if you think that Putin's going to stop in Ukraine, then
so
you just
that
don't
was a,
know
that was
whatever.
A,
like, there's absolutely no evidence for that statement whatsoever. None. No,
I thought it was bold of him to throw it out there. Like, yeah. I like when, because as soon as he's, I mean, of course, I know a little more, but like, I'm rolling my eyes the whole time he goes into that. I did mm-hmm. think it was bold to just throw that lie out there like that. Because no. Anybody who follows this stuff knows Putin, this is not what's going on here. Like, Putin isn't Hitler. He's not trying to take over Europe.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And he invoked Reagan with the tear down this wall. This is like the part that nobody seems to understand about the Ukraine situation.
Yeah.
There is no wall.
Right? Yeah.
You can come and go from Russia.
Yeah.
Russia is not a communist totalitarian state like the Soviet Union was.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing. You're not dealing with the same people. It's not the same kind of nation.
Exactly. It's just not. Like,
there is no wall to tear down.
Right? Yeah.
The people that are in Russia now are mostly in Russia because they want to be in Russia.
Well, yeah. Well,
at least as much as the people in Alabama want to be in Alabama.
Hey, Roll Tide, man. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, certainly there's some socioeconomic issues that prevent people from moving out, even if they want to and what have you, or family ties or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not trapped there.
No. I mean, they're not being held hostage. Yeah.
In fact, there's closer to hostage taking going on in Ukraine than... Russia right now.
Well, and that's for real, because the deal with them conscripting. Yeah.
I mean, they're conscripting people in Russia, too.
They are, but...
Not to the same degree.
I was going
to
say, it's a little different in Ukraine right now.
Yeah. And then there was the thing about, Trump telling Putin that he could do whatever the hell he wants. Well, that's not exactly how that happened. That's...
Yeah.
You know,
Well,
that was a stupid statement to make. There, no doubt about it. That was a stupid statement to make by Trump. But like, that was pulled so far out of context for the purposes of that speech that it was nonsensical, except that there's a whole lot of people that's all they ever heard out of that.
Yeah. Well, because they didn't hear the actual quote.
Right.
You know.
Well, or they heard that actual quote, not what came before it.
Oh, yeah.
Not what the discussion was actually about, which was countries not paying their way into NATO like they're contractually obligated to do as part of NATO.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that doesn't justify it anyway. Of course, my thing is just get rid of NATO. Like, NATO serves no purpose.
Well, I mean, the answer I like the best is to just invite Russia into NATO.
Well, they could have done that 20 years ago,
30
years ago. They can't do it now.
They could do it now.
Well, no.
I mean, you could do anything you want, but
I guess that's true.
But you're right. I mean, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And so now Sweden is also part of NATO.
Yeah, now, yeah.
They'll contribute so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he even said something about, in the speech, about how brave the Swedish are or something like that.
Yeah, they're just a tripwire.
Yeah, it came off odd to me when he said it. I was like, really? The Swedish? Yeah. I don't know, man.
And of course, when he was talking about NATO, he's like this defensive alliance. Yeah. Oh, yeah, ask the Serbs about that.
Well,
ask Libya about that defensive alliance.
I was going to say, it's definitely becoming has become an offensive alliance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that argument stands up.
Well, and with the entrance of Sweden, the NATO now is 32 countries. At the time of the fall of the Soviet Union, it was 16. It's doubled in size since the fall of the Soviet Union. Yeah. And the alliance was formed to counter the Soviet Union. There is no Soviet Union now, and it's twice as big.
Yeah. Yeah. And Russia is not a threat to the world, because that's the argument that the other side always likes to make. Well, you know, these countries all do have to band together because Russia is just a loose cannon and we don't know what they're going to do. When the truth is Russia is way more stable than we are as far as that type of thing goes.
Oh, yeah, in terms of like the possibility of invading another nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it just grates on me every time I hear somebody talk about the conflict in Ukraine and they talk about Russia's illegal invasion of another country, like pearl clutching. Right. Like, what have we been doing for the last
20 years? More than that, but 70
years.
Yeah. I mean, no. Well, 20 that I've been paying attention. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, every single one of our Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Syria. I mean, it just, everywhere we go, we haven't been invited to.
Right.
We invade nations all the time illegally, except that we make the rules, so.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Yeah, or at least we enforce the rules.
Yeah.
Iraq particularly, we didn't get permission from the UN.
Mm-mm.
No. In fact, they rejected it.
Yeah, because
we invaded anyway.
I was gonna say what did Bush call it? The coalition of the willing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was the term. Dave Chappelle's got a great skit on that one. So
And then he said followed all the war lies up with that the Alabama Supreme Court shut down IVF facilities all over the state. Yeah. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't shut down anything. They made the result of the decision was that a bunch of IVF facilities shut themselves down to avoid liability.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court didn't shut anything down.
Yeah.
And besides, the legislature acted pretty quickly to give them immunity so that they would open back up like that.
Have they opened back up? I haven't heard anything. I mean, I knew that the legislature had made action.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen if it's done any good yet or not.
I mean, I don't know.
I'll have to find out. I'll be curious. I mean, I would assume they have, but I haven't seen that. Because I saw so much online whenever they started shutting down. I just haven't heard those same people come back and be like, oh, yay.
Yeah, we're open back up. So, we're back open for business.
Exactly. So.
Deposit sperm here. Then, of course, there was the economy's great.
Yeah. So here's the, I tell you, man, like this is a tough sell, man, because basically what you're telling people is like, don't believe your checking account. Don't believe what you're seeing
around
you.
Your bill at the grocery store.
Yeah. Like it just, it boggles my mind that this is the like pitch.
Yeah. I should have looked up the exact numbers, but one of his claims there, which is probably true, is that they've created 15 million jobs in 3 years.
Yeah.
But how many did they destroy in the time before that? And that wasn't him, actually. That was Trump. Yeah. But how many jobs were destroyed by the reaction to the pandemic before we got 15 million jobs back in the last 3 years?
Yeah, it's really easy to say that the numbers look good when
you're comparing it to the worst time yes, ever.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're comparing it to a time where we were shutting businesses down, mm-hmm. like, and forcing people out of work and sending them checks and whatnot. And then you're coming back a few years later. It's like, man, like, things are great now. Like,
yeah. And that was the next thing too, is inflation has gone from 5%. It's all the way down to 3%.
That means now, it's still going up. By the way.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things wrong with that. Of course, inflation's cumulative.
Yeah.
This isn't a reduction in inflation. It's just a reduction in the rate of increase.
Exactly.
And the other thing is that, are we excited about 3% when the Fed says that its target inflation rate is 2?
Right. So we're still missing the target, even mm-hmm. if you wanted to think that it's a good thing.
Yeah. We're still above target, which...
Dude, and I'll tell you, man, like... If anything, like, that's going to be the nail in Biden's coffin is the inflation. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to people all day long. I work in retail. And I'm telling you, nobody noticed that the price of everything is going up. And they all blame the same person.
Yeah.
I mean, rightly or wrongly, because, I mean, I know there's an argument to be made that a lot of this is Trump's inflation. Mm-hmm. But that ain't what people are seeing.
Yeah. I went to Walmart this morning, bought cat food, cat litter, half gallon of milk, and spinach.
How long are you going to be making payments on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was like $50.
I know. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, back years ago, people would get shocked when they saw a price of something at the register and they wouldn't get it. Mm-hmm. Now they just shake their head. Like, seriously.
Like, what can I do?
It's like, I got to have it. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. He did have some bit in there. It was a little later. Where it seemed to me that he was attacking producers.
Yeah.
The specific thing that he was talking about, I think, was property owners, renters, like people who, landlords. There we go.
Okay, yeah.
But there were a couple other things that he mentioned, like, in the same little segment. And I thought, like, it sounds like this guy's attacking producers. Of course, this is the common reaction of primarily the Democrat Party to economic problems, is it's those greedy business people kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, why would you be, if you're worried about the economy, like, the last thing you need to do is attack the producers. Those are the people that make the jobs, that provide the products. Yeah. And if you reduce supply, then the prices go up
and we already have a problem with that.
And then he goes right from that into talking about how they're going to make school available to people as young as 3. And I was thinking, well, people are having to put their kids in school because they have to both be working all the time. Nobody can take any time off. It's because the economy sucks.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Democrats. The Republicans are a big cause of this too.
Oh yeah.
Biggest explosion of the national debt has happened over and over again, but initially it was with George W. Bush.
I was going to say it started with Bush, yeah.
It went from 2 trillion to 8 trillion under George W. Bush. Now it's 30 trillion, people.
Oh god.
30 something actually, at 34 maybe at this point. I don't remember. I've stopped looking cuz it's just it's just embarrassing at this point. But, and I was thinking, you know, just leave the economy, get out of the economy, get politics out of the economy, get government out of the economy. It'll sort itself out. And then you don't have to make daycare available for children as young as 3, because then there's a parent that can stay home.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and if.
And I hope, now I'm sure that there's some people out there that are saying, and they're probably mostly women that are saying, well, I don't want to stay home. I want to work. Okay, fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't have an issue with that. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to be chained to the oven or the crib or whatever. I don't know. But there are parents that would love to stay home with their kids.
Oh, absolutely.
But can't.
Absolutely. Well, and
my brother is essentially a stay-at-home father.
Parent, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he works from home, so, you know, but... But his wife's on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that's home all the time.
Exactly. No, and I think the balance is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for most parents, I think a lot of parents would tell you that. Me as a parent, I would say that. Like, the balance is somewhere in the middle. Like, you do need to do more than just be at the house with your kids all day, because you will go insane.
Yeah.
So a part-time job or something for close to full-time parent is healthy. Mm-hmm. But like I say, I mean, but it's all to each their own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The
idea of I just want to go back to the whole putting three-year-olds in public school or starting school at three.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the government. Like, we need them earlier.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Like, I wasn't going to attack that aspect of it, but we absolutely can.
Yeah.
So, like, let's start that indoctrination that much earlier.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I hear, but, you know. Mm.
Yeah. That occurred to me as well. Yeah. Then, of course, there was, well, before that, actually, was a discussion of drug costs. We're going to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. They've been going to bring down the cost of prescription drugs for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
Hadn't happened yet. And we see how strong pharma lobby is.
Oh.
If you don't recognize that over the last few years...
through COVID for sure. But I mean, they own the pharmaceutical companies own everything. They own the media, they own the politicians, they pull all the levers of power.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. They're worse than the Israel lobby.
I mean, I want people to just kind of, if you watch normal TV.
And for those of you on the left, they're worse than the oil lobby.
Yeah, right. Well, I just want people to think about when they're watching TV and they see these commercials popping up, that was the payoff to buy them, to buy that channel.
Yeah.
Like, that commercial is the payoff. Like, it's just what it is, because that station now can't go out there and say something against that drug or that pharmaceutical company, because that's one of their sponsors. Yeah. They can't go against their sponsors.
Exactly. Well, and he did finish, you know, that talk with essentially saying that we're going to start price fixing, and that always ends in disaster.
Yeah. Well, history has shown over and over again what happens when you price fix.
You have supply problems.
Exactly. There's no way around it. Yeah. Like,
so. And then I want to play this clip, because I had tried to pull a clip on the attacking the producers, but he's like stumbling through some of that stuff. It just wasn't clean.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good clip.
It's Biden.
Yeah, it is. But he's just like, he's mumbling and stumbling at just the wrong time at this moment. In this moment of the speech that I kind of wanted to present so that it doesn't sound like I'm making stuff up. But I couldn't pull a decent clip out of it. And it's so disconnected, because he starts talking about different things in between. So it ended up being like several minutes, or I had to cut sections out of it. But I don't like cutting sections out of a clip like that, because I'm doctoring it to make it sound like
the full context.
Yeah. So anyway, just go listen to it for yourself. I'll just explain it instead. That way people don't assume I'm lying, right?
All right.
I guess. But I did pull this clip because I have to play it.
All right, I'm ready.
I propose a minimum tax for billionaires of 25%, just 25%. You know what that would raise? That would raise $500 billion over the next 10 years. And imagine what that could do for America.
Okay. $500 billion over the next 10 years.
Over 10 years.
That will almost cover the cost of what they want to send to Ukraine right now.
In one bill.
Yeah.
In one bill.
This year's.
Oh, this year's. Okay.
It'd be $50 billion a year.
Okay.
We're trying to send them $60 billion right now.
Yeah.
But even then, $500 trillion seems like nothing.
That's
like
nothing.
Even before he said over 10 years, I was like, $500 trillion is nothing to you guys. And then... he said over 10 years, and I was like, oh my goodness.
This is literally nothing. But but to the regular observer, they're like, oh, well, he's really trying to do something, you know, because the numbers are all so big that people just kind of glaze over the fact that it's nothing in the scheme of things.
Yeah, and I don't understand why people don't understand. I don't understand why people don't understand that if you tax business, you're just taxing us.
Well, yeah, because all of that gets passed on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. You want to reduce costs of things? You want to bring inflation down? Stop taxing the businesses.
Yeah,
it'll you're paying that tax anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. It's baked in. Mm-hmm. So.
But this way, we get to talk about how those greedy corporations aren't paying their fair share.
Didn't he have a thing for the corporate? Didn't he want to raise the corporate tax too?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the same discussion.
Was it? Okay, yeah. I mean, I knew I had remembered hearing that because he...
We need a fair tax, he said, but when he says fair tax, he doesn't mean fair tax the way we mean fair tax.
Yeah.
Like, you want a fair tax, you want people to pay their fair share or whatever, you set a single rate and you take away all the loopholes.
Like, yeah.
This is what you pay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No matter what.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's as close to fair as it would ever get.
Yeah.
And you don't tax businesses because businesses just pass along that tax as part of their product cost.
Yeah.
Or service cost, you know, whatever they're selling.
Yeah.
It's just included in the cost.
Yeah.
So, it's not quite as bad as, never mind. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. Their stupid comments about taxes. Another podcaster and I like her.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're going to leave it alone.
Yeah. Just because she doesn't understand economics doesn't make her a bad person. You know? that was really it was just a big campaign speech. I was
really
surprised
was.
At how, I was surprised at the energy.
Yeah. I mean, they had him on the good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
I figured he was late because of they were trying to balance out that cocktail.
They were getting that cocktail right. That's exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to one of the commentators, he's late a lot. So
yeah.
Maybe that explains some things.
I bet they all are.
Yeah. I would imagine they probably are.
One of those power things, like, you have to wait on me.
Right.
I don't know. Then, do you have anything else on the speech itself?
No, not really. Like I say, other than, you know, they did have him on the good stuff, and it just, it's remarkable to me that this man is going to, like, make it through this campaign.
Yeah.
Like, it's only a few months, but, like, I just think about, I was thinking about this yesterday when I was kind of watching apparently he had an event somewhere or something, mm-hmm. and one of the commentators had been, like, following the campaign. And was just kind of given a rundown. And as she was given the rundown, I was just thinking to myself of traveling with my grandfather as he got older, like, because we'd go camping and different stuff. And it boggles my mind. Like, and like, we'd be go camping for like a week or whatever. And like traveling with somebody in their 80s is like a thing. Like, it's mm-hmm. a different experience, you know, than traveling with somebody in their 40s, you know.
Yeah.
It's just different. And it just boggles my mind that this man's going to get out there and do this for the next few months and, like, get through it.
Yeah.
Because he's there, man. Like, it's insane.
Well, the word I kept seeing in the headlines after the speech was feisty.
Feisty. Yeah. Man, did they? I mean, so...
He was.
He was as energetic as I've seen him.
Yeah. And he was attacking people in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, one of those, you want to go outside and do push-ups kind of things.
like he does.
Right there in the middle of the State of the Union. It was,
yeah. So.
Oh, you're not saying that? You're not saying that? Well, what, blah, yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
It was weird for a State of the Union.
Yeah. So. Was Trump doing that stuff? He probably was, right?
I mean, yeah, but he's Trump. Like, I mean, I'm sorry.
We're talking about Biden. He's a seasoned
politician. Supposed to be the professional, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I expect that kind of thing from Trump. And in fact, I encourage it. But
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it with Biden.
It just came off the same way that it does when Trump
does that kind of thing. But I didn't remember him doing that during the State of the Union.
I don't either, but that's not to say it didn't happen.
Yeah,
I
can totally see it.
I just
don't remember it specifically.
Exactly.
So then there was the rebuttal given by our very own Alabama Senator Katie?
Katie Britton? Yeah.
I knew Britt. I couldn't think of her first name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Katie Britton.
I'd never seen her before.
Yeah.
I'd heard her voice before, but I'd never seen her before.
Yeah.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
She's a pretty woman.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they voted for her. I don't know, because I wasn't impressed.
Wasn't impressed with the content?
No, it was worst performance ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if she spent any time...
preparing?
Well, I was going to say with the drama kids growing up or whatever, yeah. But like yeah. she didn't learn enough.
Yeah.
If that was the case, or maybe she learned just enough to get herself in trouble. It was so... she was just so breathless.
Yeah.
The whole time. The whole time. Yeah. It drove me crazy. And watching her was really difficult because it was like she couldn't decide what kind of facial expression she needed.
Yeah.
And so it's like she couldn't figure out if she needed to be smiling or looking outraged. And yeah. So it would kind of flip back and forth, and she'd be smiling at weird moments, and she'd be looking outraged at weird moments. It was very disconsonant, and it was so distracting. I honestly couldn't tell you much about the content.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't either. My big takeaway from the speech was that she was trying to get people... I took it as me, trying to get me like emotionally wrapped up in whatever she was saying.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me whatever she was saying was bullshit.
Yeah.
that was my experience through it.
I did really appreciate this moment.
Okay.
Goodness, y'all. Bless his heart.
That was so Alabama.
Yeah, I did appreciate it at the time. I was like, yeah, all right.
And I wonder... if most of the people listening to that speech know what bless his heart means in the South.
I imagine there's a bunch of people who don't.
Okay. I think the best example that or explanation that I heard of this was on a History Channel show about the South one time. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was Jeff Foxworthy that they were talking to about bless his heart.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, well, this is... It sounds really nice, but it's really a huge insult. Like, it's like, yeah. You know... like calling him retarded, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And his example was like, you know, people, the older Southern ladies sitting around watching the little slow kid playing around in the wood, you know, like, yeah. Oh, look at him over there playing in the wood pile with all those spiders. Bless his heart.
Yeah, exactly.
That's bless his heart.
Yep.
So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I definitely got a kick out of that.
But there was talking about like the bullshit in it. She's talking about because of Biden that the word of the United States means nothing to anybody internationally anymore, and uses Biden's lame attempt to restore the JCPOA as an example. Which is a really terrible example, because what that really is an example of how Trump undermined the word of the United States by pulling out of an agreement without any reason to do so.
Yeah.
Like abandoning an agreement that the United States has entered without cause.
Yeah.
That's what happened when Trump left the JCPOA. And so Biden trying to re-enter the JCPOA... it was probably the worst possible example she could give.
The examples that are out there, but it's the one that's the most, or it's maybe not the most, but it's definitely one of the most politically charged ones.
Yeah.
Because most of the people on the right, I know you disagree with this, were happy to get out of that.
Yeah, no,
mainly because of the propaganda around it.
Well, remember people on the right that when we go to war with Iran...
yeah.
That we wouldn't have if we'd have stayed in the JCPOA.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think that's fair.
That was the best thing that Barack Obama did while he was in office was sign that agreement.
Yeah.
The best thing that he did while he was in office. And a close second would be, I think, relaxing the embargo with Cuba.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But the JCPOA was the very best thing that he did. It's the most important thing that he did because it reduced tensions in the Middle East. It reduced the likelihood of war.
Yeah.
And they aren't, and they never have been building nuclear weapons anyway.
I don't know, man. According to Netanyahu, we're like right there. Like yeah, he's almost got that bomb filled up.
Been 2 years away for 20-something years.
Yeah.
No, that's just a lie. That's Netanyahu manipulating the American government to support Israel.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And it's just not true. There, I can't. I have explained this so many times, but I'm going to give you what I think is the best reason to believe that they will not develop, or two reasons actually. One of them I think is the best, that they won't develop nuclear weapons. First off, the Ayatollah before this one, Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah.
You got to remember that Iran is a theocracy. The yeah. Ayatollah is the
supreme leader.
The supreme leader, and he's the religious leader.
Yeah, he's both.
Yes. Well, that's why he's the supreme leader, is because he's the top-ranked cleric, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how theocracies work.
Yeah.
So he said that the development of and use of weapons of mass destruction goes against the tenets of Islam.
Yeah. And what you have to remember is, like, so he's not acting as a politician when he says that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people in this country would be like, well, yeah, he says that publicly.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, they're doing it.
Yeah, no, he's acting as a messenger from God when he says that.
Yeah, and whether or not you
believe... It's like if the Pope said that.
Well, and whether or not you believe that, I guarantee you he believes that. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make sense for him to come out there and lie about it.
And even if he doesn't believe that,
all of his people do.
Yeah.
The, like
it's the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Right? Like, yeah. I just feel like that's a point that needs to be driven home because we're so used to, in this country, politicians just lying.
Yeah.
Like, to understand, like, what exactly you're dealing with in that country.
And the current Ayatollah, Khomeini, reiterated that.
So, yeah, so he stands behind it. So he got the same message from God.
Mm-hmm. And in the 80s, when we were playing both sides in the Iran-Iraq war,
yeah,
and part of the reason that there was reason that it was accepted that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction is because we helped them develop chemical weapons in the Iran-Iraq war, which they used against Iran.
So you're saying we got the receipts.
Yeah, exactly. What was it, Mooney? Something.
Paul Mooney. Yeah.
Yep. The Chappelle Show.
Yep.
God, that was such a great line. Cracked me up with that. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Iraq used chemical weapons against Iran during the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. And Iran had the capabilities of developing and using chemical weapons in response and didn't.
Yeah.
Chose not to. Because it's a weapon of mass destruction and it's against the tenets of Islam.
Yeah, yeah. So there's reason to believe when they say this that yeah. they mean it.
So the JCPOA did is it added an additional layer of safeguards on the Iranian nuclear program. Mm-hmm. They're already dealing with inspections because they're a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Yeah.
So it just reduced the excuses that America had to go to war against Iran.
Yeah.
That's all it did.
Yeah.
Took the nuclear question off the table as an excuse to go to war.
Yeah. Which we're always looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So
then Trump dropped out of it. Now that excuse is back on the table and we're talking about going to war with Iran again.
Yeah. You got Lindsey Graham out there on Twitter saying it's time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
all right, I'm done with that. Are you done with
I'm
that?
I'm done with that. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Good. We spent so much time talking about that.
Yeah.
So I have a little one. Just this is like talking about the U.S. women's soccer stuff again.
Hell yeah!
I think it's important to bring these things up when we talk about that maybe it's not discrimination. Maybe it's just economics.
Yeah.
I just want to keep pointing this out. Like, maybe it's not discrimination. Maybe there's a really good reason that doesn't have anything to do with gender or skin color or whatever, that things are the way they are.
Yeah.
All right. And so the WNBA, there's been a bunch of word because there's this girl, I can't think of her name now, But she's Iowa Lady Hawkeye. Hawkeyes, right? That's Iowa?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, you don't know this? It's Big Ten. Come on. Yeah. You watch football? I figured you'd know the Iowa team. I think it's Hawkeyes.
Do they have a good football team? Because if not, I don't know who they are.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't keep track of
this. I imagine they don't.
It's Big Ten.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't follow college that close. I follow it, but like SEC, man, it just means more.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Anyway, I think it's Hawkeyes. But she is graduating with a whole bunch of records for basketball.
Yeah. I want to say I heard about this because I was watching something and they buzzed in because she was going to score like, I guess she scored the most points in
NCAA history, men or women.
Men or women. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I was watching TV and they like buzzed in with it, which I thought was interesting. I mean, you know, I didn't know that was going on. So,
well, they're, it's not, I don't know, it's not as impressive as it sounds.
I don't know. They made it sound very impressive when they buzzed in on my TV show to show it to me. So
the highest scoring men's NCAA basketball player was Pete Maravich, and I was trying to look up exactly
who I think was there when that happened.
They
had a bunch of people there. Like, I mean, it was a big spectacle, man.
Well, he did it in 3 years. She did it in 4.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And she could have stayed for another year because they got like essentially a redshirt year because of COVID.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
But she's not going to. She's entering the WNBA and she'll be the first draft pick. And that's why this was being discussed is because her starting salary in the WNBA will be something like $80,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's lower than I thought. I mean, I'll say that.
Yeah. So the highest paid WNBA player makes just under $250,000 a year.
Okay.
Whereas the average salary in the NBA is about $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously it's because the women are being discriminated against. It's another one of these moments.
Because just as many people watch the women as the men's. Yeah, exactly. We all know that.
it's another one of these moments where men and women are doing the exact same job and getting different pay for it.
Yeah. Well, they are doing the exact same job, and they are getting different pay. And there is one variable that we are like willfully ignoring.
No, there's more than one variable.
Well, there's one I know of.
Yeah, there's more than one variable, and this is one of those things that when I start talking about the gender wage gap, it's like first thing I bring up, and people are, you know, when people start rolling their eyes, and it's that like the gender wage gap. It's for all full-time employees that are male, average income, versus all full-time employees that are female, average income, or wages, whatever.
Yeah.
Not income, I guess, but wages.
Yeah.
They don't adjust for anything.
Yeah.
All right? So once you start bringing in these variables and you start actually like adjusting for industry and job title and experience and education and on and on and on and on.
Hours worked.
Well, that's the one that I was going to finish with here because the NBA has an 82-game regular season.
Yeah.
The WNBA has a 36-game.
Really? I didn't realize it was that drastic of a difference.
It's less than half as many games.
Wow. Why is it so much less? Nobody's watching?
Well, that's probably a big part of it.
I mean, imagine it has to be, right? Well, they got to clear the stadium out for the men.
I don't. They don't play at the same time.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, I was excited. Like I was I played basketball. I was a huge basketball fan when I was younger.
Yeah.
I remember when the WNBA started, and I was thrilled. Like really? I was really excited about it. I was like, "All right, man, I get to watch professional basketball all year round now."
Yeah.
And I watched like the first 3 games of the WNBA.
Yeah.
And I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah. But the fundamentals, right?
I watched that Futurama episode recently, Amazon Women in the Mood or whatever it's called. Gosh, cracked me up. No can dunk, but good fundamentals.
But good fundamentals, yes.
Boring.
Yeah, that equals boring. I'm no basketball fan, so like I said, count me out.
I love basketball. It's just not entertaining. It looked like it looked like a sloppy high school team.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, that's what it reminded me of. I mean, I hope the quality has gone up since then. But here's the point. The biggest point, right? They're projecting for the 2023 season $200 million in revenue, WNBA. Yeah. $200 million, dollars in revenue. Now, where they get this, I think that they're being very, confidence, not the word that I'm looking for.
I'm trying to think, I don't know.
Anyway, I think they're...
overestimating?
Yes, by a lot. Yeah. They're being very confident about their income when they probably shouldn't be, because the 2022 revenue was $60 million and they're projecting $200 million for 2023.
More than three times,
more than three times as much. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Well, I would.
Maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah. Maybe. But anyway, so I think that it's probably fairer and maybe even still exaggerating a little to say $100 million.
Yeah.
In revenue. But we'll take their $200 million. That's fine. Whatever. Yeah. $200 million in revenue.
They're going to do it. Yeah.
The NBA generated more than $10 billion with a B.
Yeah.
Bravo. Billion dollars in revenue in the 2023 season.
Yeah.
Season that ended in 2020.
Maybe that's what they're thinking, is that the NBA is just going to donate a bunch more of their money to them.
Well, the NBA already subsidizes the WNBA.
Yeah.
But the NBA is generating 50 times as much revenue as the WNBA is generating.
Yeah.
And they share the same kind of overhead costs, you know, in terms of the maintenance, their costumes, the, you know,
the whole shebang of bang.
Yeah, the food and drink and like all the my
you're not finding words good tonight.
Words not work. Yeah. But all the concessions. That's all the concessions in the building, so forth. Like, these are all costs that they share. WNBA referees make less money than the referees in the NBA do too.
Really?
Not by as big a factor.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you're talking about 86 times, like the men make about 86 times more money. Even though the revenue they generate is only 50 times. Of course, they play more than twice as many games also.
I was going to say, the games is a factor with the refs too, I'm sure.
And then it is. So yeah. I think the refs make something like $400 a game for the WNBA, and they make like $550 a game for the NBA. Yeah. But it makes a huge difference because of the number of games that are played. So the refs in the NBA make something like $250,000 a year, while in the WNBA, they make like 25 or 30 or something, just because of the difference in the number of games.
Yeah, because they're just
played.
Not there as much. Yeah.
But anyway, they share all these overhead costs. All those things take roughly the same amount from the revenue, like the total revenue generated, except that there's fewer games, so they don't have to pay them as, they don't have to pay for concessions as frequently in the WNBA. But anyway, assuming it all is more or less equal, there's just a lot less money left over after those overhead costs from the revenue to pay out the players.
Yeah. It's just what it is. It's just simple economics.
Exactly. I mean, so the NBA players make a lot more money for the same job, sort of. Yeah. But they earn a lot more money for the same job. And the NBA, like I said, is already subsidizing the WNBA to a degree. So so maybe it's not because it kind of is because you're a woman, because it's just the physicality isn't the same.
Yeah,
I know they're telling us that's not true anymore, but it is.
Yeah.
The physicality is just not the same. The game's not as exciting. It doesn't draw crowds in the same way. It's like saying that if you and a guy had tables next to each other selling watches, and you sold, 500 watches a day, and he sold 100 watches a day, And he's like, well, we should be making the same amount of money, though.
We're doing the same job.
Exactly.
I was here just as long as you were.
Mm-hmm.
Buy better watches.
No, yeah.
Yeah, start taking notes about what he's doing. That's all I can tell you.
So anyway, I just thought this was interesting. It's such a ridiculous discussion that goes on every time this comes up, that the women should be making as much money as the men.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't hearing people making that claim exactly, but they were saying that the women should be making a whole lot more money, like more commensurate with the men than what they're making. But they aren't the same draw. It's not the same product.
Yeah. Well, that's what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the WNBA was making, you know, $1 billion a year instead of maybe a couple hundred million.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd have a better argument here, but it's just not the case.
Yeah. I think if you're that upset about it, you should start watching it and see what you think.
Yeah, no kidding. Sit down, watch an NBA game and a WNBA game.
Yeah. And
see which one you'd rather pay attention to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I've really got. I did kind of want to talk about the EU Digital Services Act, but I didn't really get a chance to read into it as deeply as I'd like, so that didn't happen.
So we'll save that one for next week.
Maybe. No, I'm sorry. That's me scratching on the table.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
I hope that wasn't being picked up by the microphone.
I just heard it, and I was like, wait a minute. We making noises now?
So I have a quote going into this election season from Hunter Thompson. This was in his collection called Generation of Swine, Fear and Degradation in the 80s or something. Shame and Degradation in the 80s, I think that's what it was.
Can't go wrong with Hunter Thompson.
But yeah, I know. But he was writing, this was in 1987, I think, or maybe it might have been as late as 88, with Reagan in office and HW to succeed him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knew that HW was coming in yet at the time that he wrote this, because I don't remember exactly. Oh, you got a friend. But I just thought, going into election season, this is kind of a fun quote for everybody. Actually, it's really disturbing, but
yeah,
whatever. In that great Hunter Thompson way.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, it is difficult for the ordinary voter to come to grips with the notion that a truly evil man, a truthless monster with the brains of a king rat and the soul of a cockroach, is about to be sworn in as president of the United States for the next 4 years. And he will bring his gang in with him, a mean network of lawyers and salesmen and pimps who will loot the national treasury, warp the laws, mock the rules, and stay awake 22 hours a day looking for at least one reason to declare war officially on some hapless tribe in the Sahara or heathen fanatic like the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Sounds like you knew Bush was coming in.
Yeah. I mean, you can make that statement about every single president in my lifetime. So
Absolutely true.
I just thought that was that might be a fun one for some perspective.
No, it really is.
So we're not sure if we're going to be back next week, right?
Man,
now.
I hope so. But like I say, I've got inventory, so work's just putting me through the ringer.
Yeah.
So it's just that time of year. But like I say, I'm really hoping we'll get together.
Yep.
If not, like I say,
it'll be after that.
So it won't be a solo one.
I don't know. It depends on what I have.
Yeah.
It depends on how much I have, because I'm going into a payroll week and I've got to deal with that.
Well, so we're both. Well, like I say, hopefully we can make it work, because I definitely want to do this. But like I say.
Yep. Well, we will if we can, and if we can't, we'll be back as soon as we can after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way.
Yes.
In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook. You can subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Podbean. Like and share, comment, subscribe, leave reviews. You can always contact me at michael@thelibertymike.com. That's all the stuff, right?
I think so. I feel like that's all the stuff.
It feels like it. If I left something out, listen to the last episode. You'll hear it at the end.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try to stay free.
Life's short, live free.
Ciao.
Later.